For decades, the patriots of Eastern Europe fought against communism. Despite the threat of imprisonment and near total censorship, they continued to speak out. They called themselves dissidents. Ultimately, they prevailed against tremendous odds. Now, at long last, American patriots are speaking out against the forces that are destroying this country. This program is the voice of those patriots. This is American Dissident Voices. Your host is Kevin Alfred Strom.
Thank you, Richard Cotton. When the enemies of our people first began their promotion of racial integration and non-white immigration, 3 decades and more ago, they told us that what they were proposing was just fairness and equal opportunity. They insisted that our society would not change substantially, that we would just be sharing it with a few long-suffering, disadvantaged victims of discrimination. When patriots protested that the real purpose of the integration program was not fairness, but race mixing and the genetic destruction of the white race, we were viciously attacked as haters and extremists. While in private, they approved of and desired nothing more than integration at the DNA level, in public, the enemies of our people poo-pooed the possibility that civil rights laws or third world immigration would have such an effect. Now, of course, it is painfully evident that the racist extremists were absolutely right. Now, racial mixing is being actively and disgustingly promoted in every avenue possible, being pushed by Jewish and corporate billions onto the electromagnetic waves of television and radio, printed onto millions of miles of photographic emulsions, engraved in the ones and zeros of digital discs and diskettes, and printed on forest upon forest's worth of newsprint and magazine paper. Now, of course, it is painfully evident that the racist extremists were also absolutely right when they said our society would be profoundly changed by third world immigration and by the integration program. What used to be our great cities, which should have progressed triumphantly into the 21st century, have now regressed to the level of the jungle, and everybody knows it. A recent wire service article from Britain shows that America is not alone in her suffering from this slow suicide by multiracialism. Let me read you some excerpts from this report entitled Portraits of a Love with No Color Bar. Quote, Dateline Britain. 4 out of 10 young black men who are married or in steady relationships live with white women, according to government figures. The first full national census study of ethnic minorities in Britain also shows that 40% of black children are in single-parent families. This is a striking contrast to the 15% of white children and 10% of Asian children in the same situation. The single-parent family is so much a part of Caribbean tradition, says the report, that more than a quarter of Britain's black population lives in one. The figures, which come from detailed analysis of the 1991 census, in which race was a question for the first time, show a widening of the ethnic mix, with increasing numbers of white women taking black husbands or lovers. The women, many middle-class and well-educated, are giving birth to a new generation of mixed-race children. Researchers estimate that by the early 1990s, out of a total ethnic population of 350,000 children aged under 4, 70,000 were of mixed race. The 40% of men of Caribbean origin who have chosen white partners are aged 16 to 34. Around 20% of black Caribbean women in the same age group are married or in steady relationships with white men. In the Caribbean, there is a tradition of couples having children without being legally married. According to the report, they either live together or are joined in a regular sexual partnership known as a visiting union. There is an emphasis on the mother-child bond and a lack of emphasis on the conjugal one. End of article. Now, of course, the Caribbean tradition the writer talks about is really nothing of the kind. It's an African tradition. It's so persistent, this absent father syndrome, among those of African ancestry, that it exists to some degree wherever blacks are found. But the absent father syndrome is a problem for the Africans, not us, except to the extent, of course, that we are stupid enough to subsidize it. The problem for us, in every white country, not just Britain, is the nuclear warfare taking place against us. I'm not talking about the fission or fusion of hydrogen atoms. I'm talking about something far more deadly, far more dangerous. I'm talking about the death of our race by warfare taking place at the level of the cellular nucleus. I'm talking about the warfare against our race by the union of our genetic material with those of other races, a process which can never be undone, and a kind of nuclear warfare which means death for us far more surely, as does warfare by hydrogen bomb.
You are tuned to American Dissident Voices, an island of free speech in a sea of controlled and managed news. For a catalog of books, tapes, and videos that the censors of political correctness don't want you to see, just send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Pillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
Immediately after the recent bombing at the Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, the controlled media were so quick to air footage of bomb-making plans supposedly available on the Internet that I think I can be forgiven for suspecting that they had the tapes already queued up and ready to roll. They are chomping at the bit in their zeal to scare the boobs into supporting censorship of the net. They show us bomb plans on the net, but do not show us bomb plans available in thousands of libraries and from the government printing office, for God's sake. They have created a false link between so-called racism and pornography by constantly pairing them in their shrill calls for governmental controls on electronic speech. But when those who support multiculturalism talk violently or wave weapons and bomb-making books around, the controlled media keep their silence and smile approvingly. Listen to this report we recently received from the Aryan News Agency Wire Service. Quote, "The music group Rage Against the Machine has a new album out called Evil Empire, which is number one on the music charts. There was recently a report about them on MTV. They interviewed two members of the band who appear to be mulattoes. To let the audience know the political ideals of the band, the one had a baseball cap with the word commie on the front. They have extreme leftist political messages in their music. I noticed the album cover for Evil Empire has a young blue-eyed white boy on it in a superhero-like costume, showing the audience they are aiming for. Inside the album, they have a list of suggested reading, which, according to MTV, includes books about the Black Panthers, Mumia Abu-Jamal, guerrilla warfare, and an infamous bomb-making manual called The Anarchist Cookbook. They said they hope to attract people to their political beliefs with their music. Where are the media and critics who call for the banning of white power groups and albums due to their content? Do we see any calls for boycotts of record stores that sell this album? No. Instead, this group is promoted on television and radio, and they are considered thought-provoking young intellectuals. The double standard that exists in our society is overwhelmingly against anything white and will promote anything that is anti-white. End article. Indeed. And I must mention another gross instance of media hypocrisy. When Nichols and McVeigh were arrested for allegedly setting off the bomb at the federal building in Oklahoma City, it was almost supernatural how the media spin doctors went into action so quickly, blaming the bombing on racists, despite the fact that one of the suspected pair is married to a non-white and must be presumed to be an anti-racist. They made much of the fact that Timothy McVeigh, like hundreds of thousands of other people around the world, had read the novel The Turner Diaries. But did these same controlled media tell you that the suspected Unabomber read, studied, underlined sections of, and made copious notes in the margins of another book? Did these same controlled media tell you that this other book was found among the few possessions in the suspect eco-terrorist's remote cabin hideout? Was this book on their published list of the other books which were found there? Did they call for suppression of this book and others like it in print or on the internet? No, of course not. What was this inspiring work so influential in Theodore Kaczynski's thinking? The book is entitled Earth in the Balance, and it was written by a man named Al Gore Jr., who just happens to be Vice President of the United States.
This is American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
Let us talk for a moment about terrorism. A very large percentage of the terrorism in the United States is not the result of domestic issues. For years, the FBI listed the Jewish Defense League and its allies as the greatest domestic terrorists, though the Jewish-dominated media never told you that. And no one could possibly be unaware of the terrorist threat from radical Arab groups, outraged at America's support for Israeli murder and conquest. My question is this: why are we allowing these Middle Easterners, these non-Americans, these non-whites, to bring their quarrels and wars and killings and bombings over here? While I understand the anger felt by Arabs at the Jewish theft of their land and slaughtering of their people, and while I say that all American support for the Israeli state should be ended immediately, I think we should insist that these Middle Easterners, all of them, fight their wars on their own turf. The multiracialists brought them here, and they are responsible for the deaths of innocent American men, women, and children. If these multiracialists are so fond of diversity and the death it brings, let them go too. But we have been very foolish. We have been so foolish in America. We have allowed aliens to rule over us, to own our media, and dominate our government. I often point out the destructive effects of Jewish power in the United States, but letting any alien group have power over our people is a sin that cannot be forgiven. A recent example of this was when a group in Congress led by Republican Senator Alan Simpson had managed to shift the balance of power just enough so that it looked like a cut in legal immigration quotas might pass. As Senator Simpson put it, quote, "Polls clearly show that some 70% of Americans favor reductions in both illegal and legal immigration. Two-thirds of our immigration is legal, so trying to reduce illegal immigration alone is not sufficient," close quote. The Knight Ridder News Service reports that, quote, "Currently, the U.S. issues an unlimited number of visas for the foreign-born spouses, parents, and minor children of its citizens, about 250,000 a year, currently. An additional 226,000 visas are available for the adult children, brothers and sisters of citizens, and for the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents who do not yet have citizen status. In addition, 140,000 visas are available to employers who seek to hire foreign workers, and 55,000 visas are available through a lottery. Simpson proposed to cut each of these categories and to cap family reunification visas at 480,000, a proposal that would have reduced legal immigration by a third over the next 3 years." End of article. Now, Mr. Simpson's proposal is a very modest proposal indeed, and hardly sufficient to solve our out-of-control immigration problem. But another Republican, Senator Spence Abraham of Michigan, was determined that immigration quotas not be reduced. With procedural nods from Republican nabobs like Bob Dole, he initiated moves that killed the quota reductions. Leftist pro-immigration groups were ecstatic, and the controlled media began to heap praise on Abraham for his compassion, for his support of what he himself called, quote, "open borders and ethnic diversity," close quote. Abraham further stated, quote, "I felt it was important for the party to be out front on this side of the issue, rather than to be seen as a nativist party that was hostile to people who came from diverse ethnic backgrounds," close quote. The libertarian Cato Institute, another supporter of unlimited third world immigration, also gave credit where credit was due. Their spokesman, Stuart Anderson, said, quote, "If Spence Abraham hadn't been elected to the U.S. Senate, we would have seen cuts to legal immigration this year," close quote. Frank Sherry, the executive director of the pro-immigration National Immigration Forum, stated, quote, "For some of us, it was the first time we'd ever met with a Republican senator. And I remember thinking, I didn't know what to expect. It was like, this guy's speaking to me. It's affected my entire view of the Republican Party," close quote. Isn't it wonderful, friends? Now the multiracialists will have two parties to choose from, while white Americans have none. Seems terrible from a conservative point of view. There is no representation for traditional white Americans at all in the current establishment. But for those who know that the current establishment is an utterly rotten occupation regime, it is actually a positive development. It bodes well for the awakening of our people and their ultimate abandonment of the sellout political gangs called Democrats and Republicans. Oh, I almost forgot about heroic Spence Abraham. He is an Arab of Lebanese descent, and he has just given us an object lesson in what happens when you are stupid enough to think that the race of your leaders does not matter.
This is American Dissident Voices. Why don't you write today to the fine radio station that carries this program and let them know that you appreciate their belief in freedom of speech. Remember, the enemies of freedom never rest. Don't let their voices be the only ones this station hears.
Dateline Lawrenceville, New Jersey. The Lawrenceville School Board declared last month that henceforth a new holiday would be added to their schedule. It was to be called Million Man March Day. But disappointed school board members canceled it when they discovered that the Million Man March was not an annual event, according to school board president Lincoln Green. Had the march been annual, as they had hoped, the holiday would have taken the place of Veterans Day, which had been eliminated from the schedule. Have you heard of the latest burning issue in San Francisco's black community? Believe it or not, it's pizza racism. The following is from an ANA Wire report, Dateline San Francisco. Domino's 30 minutes or it's free policy could grow you a beard in San Francisco's urban housing projects. Plagued by robberies and even murders, pizza shops and other delivery businesses from FedEx to florists stay out of the projects. Willie Kennedy, San Francisco's former city supervisor who lives in the tough Bayview Hunters Point district, calls it racism. She was quoted as saying that the reason for no pizza delivery in the projects, quote, can only be because we are black people, close quote. Apparently, trying to stay alive is now racism. Kennedy stated, quote, this neighborhood has been ostracized. They think every African American is a criminal, close quote. Before retiring in May, Kennedy pushed through an ordinance requiring businesses that make deliveries to all neighborhoods. Businesses responded by stopping delivery services altogether. Dorothy Ehrlich, executive director of the ACLU of Northern California, calls the law an important, quote, commitment to civil rights, close quote. The California Restaurant Association protested the law, saying it violates federal occupational health and safety laws, which make it illegal to force workers into hazardous situations. The restaurateurs also warn that workers' compensation premiums would increase drastically. Supporters countered by saying that the fines imposed were a fair way to stop racism and that blacks needed the law to allow them to sue recalcitrant businesses. They also stated that the law was, quote, a model for localities everywhere, close quote. The Board of Supervisors has now softened the measure by allowing delivery services to refuse to go to certain homes if they have a, quote, good faith, unquote, belief that doing so would be, quote, an unreasonable risk of harm, close quote. In Kennedy's absence, the addendum passed unanimously. End of article. Ladies and gentlemen, just imagine it. A multi-million dollar lawsuit for failure to deliver a pizza to a Negro in the projects. It's coming. Stranger things have happened. America, you have truly gone insane.
Breaking down the walls of censorship, this is American Dissident Voices. Send $1 and you'll receive our catalog of suppressed books and tapes, including books and tapes you can't get anywhere else. Send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
Those of you who are online with your computers, please check out our worldwide website at www.natvan.com. That's www.natvan.com. In addition, we also have an alternate site of www.natall.com. That's www.natall.com. There, you can download many dozens of articles and American Dissident Voices scripts, our complete book catalog. You can download free software so you can listen to American Dissident Voices broadcast live on the net and learn about a growing group of decent men and women who care about the future we are making for our children. In these last few years of the 20th century, freedom to speak means nothing if it does not mean freedom to speak on the airwaves. We are telling the truth that our people need to hear. We are telling them fearlessly and boldly, and we are struggling against censorship. We are speaking out for you and your future. Please help us by sending a donation of $40 or more and asking to become a subscriber to Free Speech. Those who send $300 or more will also receive our ADV broadcasts on audio cassette every week, just as they are broadcast over the air. Write today to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Send $40 and ask for a subscription to Free Speech. Write National Vanguard Books, Department R, as in radio, P.O. Box 90, that's 90, Hillsboro, H-I-L-L-S-B-O-R-O, West Virginia, abbreviated WV, 24946, USA. If you are one of our overseas listeners, you may pay with an international postal money order or with international reply coupons.
You've been listening to American Dissident Voices,
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for a book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the controlled media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute 2 international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high-fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.